Hello, and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, July 31st, 2017. You're listening to episode 270. My name's Rob. Jason's with me as always.
I am. This is the 31st. This month goes to 31.
Hey.
It's like a handbag.
Well, I don't get it, but yeah, hey-o, there he is. He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh!
I didn't get the joke, though.
31 bags. That's like a...
What?
It's like every family...
What?
I would say every woman, but I'm just going to say every family owns at least one 31 bag. In fact, Ben Pinchback, I think the bag you carry around with games in it is a 31 bag.
I don't know what...
It's either him or Matt Riddle.
Is that a store? Is that
You know how they have the parties?
What?
Like... It's like a party where we sell. I'm your friend, but I try and sell you stuff at the party.
Oh, like those jewelry parties and crap.
31 is like that.
31
but it's
is
bags.
One of those. I've never heard.
I'll
of
tell
that.
You what. It appears they make some quality bags. Again, if you're looking, Ben Pinchback, I think is official rep for that. So him and Riddle, they do it on the side. You know.
Oh, well, that's cool. I think shortly after Christine and I started dating, she had a friend who was repping for a jewelry thing, and she hosted a jewelry party. And I said, at once that was over, I said, I'm never going to have anything to do with that stuff ever again. And I need you to be okay with that. And she was.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. The only one of those parties that I've actually attended was that wine party that your wife did.
Yeah.
But I like wine.
Yeah. Well, that was different. Hey, come drink free booze.
Right.
And then maybe buy some. For yourself if
Which,
you like it.
I mean, I was probably going to buy some wine that week anyway.
And it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
They
was
had
fine.
Some few things that were very specifically good.
Yeah,
so
sure. Yeah.
So some we actually still order from there.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of the ones that are good.
Good. So we've kind of, I mean, we haven't been on a hiatus, but the last two episodes were interview shows for us. And so we focused on the guests for those last 2 weeks. And so we're kind of out of touch with the builders, Jason.
I feel a little out of touch.
I too.
What's that? What's that Hall & Oates song?
I don't know.
You're out of touch. Is that, that's not the song though.
I don't know, dude.
You're out of, what is that? You don't know Hall & Oates?
I know who they are, but I don't. I'm not sure what you're singing.
I think it is, I'm out of touch, you're out of touch. Dun, 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 dun.
Either I've never...
Or I've replaced those words with out of touch. I don't know.
I don't know. Either I've never heard that song or you're just doing it very badly.
Well, if you ask my wife, I'm just doing it very badly because consistently I will hum songs and she'll be like, what song is that? And I'm like, it's blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, it's not. Not even close.
So it could go either way, honestly.
My wife, though, was a musical genius when it comes to that stuff. So one time, I was like, I have this song stuck in my head. I'm pretty sure it's from a movie. And she's like, what is it? And I'm like, it goes like this. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And she's like, immediately she goes, oh, crap, I've heard that. Like, that sounds legit. So for like 6 hours, for like 6 hours, I'm like... Racking my brain all of a sudden, she picks up the iPad and hits play, and that plays. And I'm like, how did you, what is it? It's the theme from Speed, the movie.
Speed.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That brrr is like some sort of brass horn or something in the background.
Okay.
Yeah, but like, anyways.
Your wife's pretty digital, as it turns out.
She's very digital, so... unless you're actually talking about technology,
and then
I'm way more digital.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. I was telling you earlier, I got a Roomba, so that's exciting.
Yeah. Right. You got a Roomba and it's on patrol now.
Yeah. So, well, it took a couple of days. It kept just failing and I couldn't figure out why.
I'm going to go ahead and drink this cheer wine.
We have cheer wine here again today. I can't wait for the cheer wine.
Yeah.
It turns out I needed like an update or something. Like
to upgrade the firmware on your vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's the best though.
Oh man, we live in the future.
It's connected to Wi-Fi, so it does it on its own. They just sometimes you first turn it on, it doesn't grab it right away, the software updates. And once they push the first one, then it'll just start streaming.
Okay.
But no, I can actually like watch, this is cool. So
buildings, does it have a camera on it? So you can watch, see where it is?
No. That,
no?
Well, it does, but you can't see, but it does that.
Oh, it's mapped your house.
That's the map of my house. And then the red spot is where it got stuck under Laurel's dresser.
Oh.
And then the battery died. And it was like, Roomba is stuck. Like, I literally had to, when I got home, I had to hit this button. Oh, uh-huh. And hit the Roomba's name by Josiah, Mr. Speedbot.
Mr. Speedbot. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So you can have one Roomba for each floor of your house.
You could. I mean, we're not going to, because let's be honest, they're not cheap.
No.
They're really not cheap. The only reason we got a Roomba is because we got it free with our Amazon points. Like, we do everything.
We just use our Amazon points to pay off the stuff we buy on Amazon.
I see.
Yeah.
No, we use our Amazon points to buy more stuff on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, that's what they want you to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Well, it's basic. Actually, is it? When you think about it.
Dude, I don't know.
I mean, I get free stuff. You use yours to pay down your balance. That's money they would have given. I think they would rather you do it your way.
You think so?
Yeah, because I don't, like...
Oh, because then they're not giving away free items.
Right. Because I don't have Ziet, right? Like, I'm like, I have X amount. This is what I can buy, and then I buy it.
Yeah.
And if I don't have that much, then I don't.
Sure.
With the Roomba, that's not true. I think we ended up paying, like, I don't know, $75 towards the Roomba or something. Okay. But it was... Those things are expensive. So, but hey,
yeah,
free.
Yeah,
almost.
Kind of.
We had some gift cards too, so that helped.
Not really free.
Not really, because we probably spent like $20,000 to get that money to buy it. Because obviously, you know, but but we just buy everything at Amazon. We literally buy everything possible on Amazon. And you'll be happy to excel. Do you shop at Meijer?
Occasionally.
Where do you guys normally shop
at? Meijer, From groceries,
I know it's not Walmart. Yeah. So, Shipt is in town now.
I don't know what that is.
Shipt is, you pay $30 or $40 a year,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, they just deliver the groceries right to your house.
What?
Yes, I know! How cool is that?
Shipt?
Shipt.
So you're like, saying that I won't ever have to go to the grocery store again?
Not if you don't want to.
Because I, okay, I hate going grocery shopping, Jason.
Yeah.
And I think my wife hates it just a little bit more than me.
Yeah, my wife and I hate it pretty much too.
Oh, man.
So yeah, with Shipt, you basically go on their website and you pick all your stuff out at Meijer, and then a person goes around and picks it up, and they'll text you and say, hey, I can't find this. Would you, you know, is there a replacement you'd rather have? And you just text back and forth with them, and then they just show up at your house with your stuff, and you're like encouraged to give them a tip.
Just like whenever?
I think you have to spend a minimum amount, like $30 or not. When you go, but I mean, even if you just did that for your weekly grocery trip,
well,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it means I would actually do a weekly grocery trip instead of like a once every 3.5 weeks.
Because you're delaying?
Because there's just nothing in the house anymore and we're tired of getting takeout.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. How amazing is that? That's the future right there.
And just like Saturday or Sunday even, or is it only weekdays? Or
maybe
you don't
know.
You probably,
but it's even if it's weekdays, I mean, so they're texting with you, you know, on and off getting stuff, and then they just show up at your house. They don't actually deliver to Scott's, so we'll have to like pick it up at the store. Yeah. But literally, you just pull in and they just put it in your car.
Wow. Because, man, Christine works from home every Thursday.
Oh, yeah. So perfect.
So, oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. She is going to love that news.
We just found out yesterday that it's finally in Kalamazoo. Because it's been in up by Grand Haven and stuff for like 6 months now. People have been raving about it. And
it's just like shipt.com or something?
I think so. SHIPT.com.
Oh, Shipt.
Shipt. Yeah.
Okay. So, hot tip there. Builders, look for that in your area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have a Meijer, or I think Shipt might be national. I don't know that that's just.
Is it only Meijer stores, or they do it for other retailers?
Here they do it for Meijer. That's all I know for sure. So
never.
Well, I don't think they do it for Walmart because Walmart does their own thing.
Yeah.
Like you can buy stuff at Walmart and Sam's Club and you show up and it's just packed and ready for you at the door.
Yeah.
That's their new big thing.
Yeah.
So Shipt, I think, is competing with that for stores, like for the smaller stores.
Oh,
I know it's crazy,
man.
Right?
Oh, Jason, we live in the future.
I know. My goal is to automate as many things that I don't want to do in my life. It's like my job bleeding over into my life, right? Like, what can I automate about my life? Hey, running a vacuum cleaner. Sounds good.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah.
We live in the future.
We do. Who needs a flying car when you have groceries delivered to your house?
Right.
You know? I mean, yeah. Anyways, hey, let's talk about whatever the builders want to talk about.
Actually, I have a lot of updates to share. We're creeping up on Gen Con here pretty quickly. We're about
12 weeks away.
Yeah,
I made that up.
17 weeks.
32?
I think it's actually like three.
Oh, I thought we were just going to keep saying larger numbers and it was going to be ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was already ridiculous. So,
I have an update when you're done. Don't let me forget.
Okay. So Simple Surgery is going real well.
Simple Sugary. That's what you should call
Simply
it.
Simply Sugary. Simple Surgery, real happy with where it is. I've done more playtesting. It's gone great. Lots of enjoyment. I feel comfortable with where the difficulty is right now. I think a publisher, it's at a point now where I'm comfortable with it, but I expect a publisher would want to do their own tuning to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got it to a point now where the first time around the table, probably everyone's going to fail, but then they're going to get it. And then the second round time around the table, about half the group's going to do better. But it's also tuned for adults, not for kids, right?
But you can easily play it with kids without those cubes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or just people who are bad at dexterity games.
Right, yeah. So I've got to a point where I'm comfortable with where it is for how the testing I've done so far, knowing that I think that a publisher would need to do additional tuning to make it fit the difficulty level that they want. So anyway, I submitted the game to the publisher speed dating event that's hosted by Minion Games, and I just actually a couple hours ago got accepted.
So, congratulations!
Yeah, so that's cool. So I'll be doing the publisher speed dating event on Saturday at Gen Con. That's at 8 o'clock. I don't know how many publishers are going to be going. There's what is it? I think there's 16. I think there's 16 designers in each session. There's two sessions. There's one on Thursday, one on Saturday.
Wow, they only picked 32 people total, you got in?
Yeah.
That's good. I didn't mean that to sound like it did. Good.
No, I feel good about that. And they said that they had over 100 entries. So I feel pretty good about that. Yeah. I worked real hard on that sell sheet.
You said one of our buddies is in there too, right?
Yeah,
that's
buddy Gray.
That's not a secret, right? Yeah,
no. Our buddy Gray. Congratulations, Gray.
Yeah. Did you see what game he's got?
I don't recall off the top of my head. The list is public. It's out there.
Yeah, I figured.
It's at jamesmath.com.
Well, that's great. Gray's awesome.
Yeah. So congratulations, Gray. I didn't recognize any other names on the list for either day. So I don't know how many publishers are going to be there, but kind of in their instructions, they said you should probably make like 30 copies of your sell sheet and have those ready.
They were going to save your game. Like, oh
yeah, no. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to expect from that. Right. So we'll see. I also have 4 separate meetings scheduled with publishers. At the show across the time there. So I'm happy about that. I've got a few other emails out as well that I'm hoping to hear back from.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Last year I only had one meeting, right? I had one meeting and...
Right, me too, I think, yeah.
And it went well. That publisher took a copy of Treasure Trouble and they checked in with me a couple of months ago just to kind of say, hey, don't worry, we haven't forgotten about you. We still really like the game. It's just not ready. It's just not going to fit into our catalog right away, but we want to keep our eyes on it, right?
Right.
But if you want to still sell it to somebody else, you know, that's okay. We don't, you know, whatever. Yeah.
They're super nice about that. They being are, like, listen, right. You're not going to break a heart. We will gladly try and find a spot for this, but we understand the business.
Right. So I was glad I did that, but I was disappointed in myself for not doing more, for not scheduling more. But I also wasn't feeling super confident about any of my fresh designs last year.
Right.
So Simple Surgery, I feel a lot better about right now. I've also got, of course, 8 Arms to Hold You. Which I just feel so good about. I really, really like that game. So they encouraged us to bring sell sheets for our other games to the speed dating event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the main event is only, you know, you're going to pitch one game to all these publishers, but if you want to have sell sheets available, go ahead and do that. I might go ahead and make some sell sheets for a Treasure Trouble as well. I mean, why the heck not, right?
You're going to be there.
Yeah.
Why not?
So I'll definitely have, that ready to go. And actually, in one of the publisher meetings I have, I already talked to them about it. I'm going to show them Surgery, 8 Arms, and Treasure Trouble.
Oh, they're all so fast. Why not?
Yeah, why not, right?
So.
And they were totally cool with that. They said they'd give me whatever time I needed, and I was really impressed, honestly.
Yeah, that's really nice of them.
Yeah, really, really cool. So feeling really good about that. If I can get a 5th meeting scheduled on the books, I would feel so awesome. And like whenever I send those emails, I always feel kind of greasy about it, you know,
right.
Just kind of dirty. Like I'm not a sales guy, right? Not that there's anything wrong with salespeople. Well, a lot of salespeople, there's a lot of things wrong with them, but anyway, you know what I mean?
Well, the good news is if you don't screw it up this year, meaning like they might not like your games, but as long as you're not like terrible to them,
right?
Next year, you know exactly who to email. So right.
Yeah, and how to get in touch with them. So anyway,
right.
So I feel really good about that. I'm really happy with that result. Just to update, I did get my submission out in the mail to the HABA challenge, the HABA contest. So I got shipping I shipped that and I got confirmation that it was delivered on, like Monday, I guess, or maybe it was Monday. I don't remember what the exact, anyway, it's there now. Right. So they've got that. I don't know when they're going to do the next step in that contest. I'm sure they've got a lot of games to look at. And I think they had until the end of this month to actually get those turned in. So probably sometime in August, we'll start to hear more about that. But, that my, Wizard's Hat, idea got a little bit tuned after playing with your kids and played it with some family. So very, very pleased with what I had for them. It's not a real heavy game, right? I think it is a HABA game.
It's a good level for HABA. Yeah,
I think so. Tried not to overcomplicate it. and I think those are all of my updates. I am at kind of a weird spot now where I'm not working on one game. I'm not working on anything.
Right. No, you've got some stuff in your...
Yeah.
You and I are kind of in the opposite boat right now.
Yeah.
So
your update.
Yeah. So my update, I don't have any scheduled pitch meetings and I don't plan on scheduling any pitch meetings. So there's another update I had to give and I can give that as part of this that kind of ties in together. So right now I am working on a project with John Gilmore. It's a big design thing. That's all. So that's the information I can give you. What I can tell you beyond that is that if you check the show notes, I'm going to put in there a Google form that we put together to submit game ideas to our part of our larger project. And that's underway right now. We're hoping to get everything in sometime in August. I think by the end of August, we're really hoping for sure. But I'm going to be honest, we have things coming in already because we announced this on Facebook and Twitter a while back. We just hadn't had a chance to put it on the show yet. What we're looking for right now, though, is a 20-card game with mostly just 20 cards. You could throw in a couple things here or there, but mostly just 20 cards. And those cards will likely end up being people on the cards. That's all your direction. Oh, and it has to be able to play competitively. It could have a cooperative mode, but it must be able to be played competitively. And then also, in addition to that, we're looking for a 10 custom dice game. I wouldn't go over 10 custom dice. If it was less, that's not a deal breaker for sure. They can be any kind of polyhedral dice, up to you. They can have completely asymmetric sides, because that won't matter. That's and the same rules for that. Could be played cooperatively, but must be able to be played competitively.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody has an idea or wants to talk with you more about that, how would they get in touch with you?
They can tweet at me for sure. If we're friends on Facebook, hit me up on Facebook. But tweet at me, tweet at the show, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Check the notes though on the show, and I will have the links out there. This is a really cool, exciting thing that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Sure.
Which should tell you how cool and exciting it is. I can't wait to tell you the whole story. And it's going to be awesome. But for now, what's happening for me right now is I'm kind of in an awkward spot where I'm working on several things, but they're nothing I can pitch some of them I can pitch to specific publishers, but other things I can't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've had to devote so much time to those things that I haven't had time to make something. I haven't had the brain power to make something else. Am I pitching game tonight? Are you pitching game tonight?
I don't remember.
I'll just pitch tonight.
Okay, cool? That's fine. Yeah.
So I'm going to pitch a game tonight. It was kind of a fun little thing I threw together really fast that I may end up trying to pitch at some point or maybe bring to Unpub or something. But it's I have like 2/3 of a proto done and I ran out of time to finish it. And then had two other projects pop up that I had to work on instead that I need to be able to show at Gen Con. So I'll pitch that game later. But that literally is the only thing I've been able to just do for fun, kind of. That's not already looking towards someone. Not that all these things are going to get published, but I'm just, they're pre-committed if they were, sure. Right? Without some changes. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I'm super excited that you're able to get all these meetings. Yeah. I fully intend to harass you next year when I'm looking for all these meetings. So. Because they're with good people. Like, I was excited to see the companies you were able to get meetings with.
So yeah, yeah. And I've got one kind of pie in the sky effort that I sent an email out on. And let's just say I sent an email to Hasbro.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Freaking, why not?
Right.
Shoot for the stars, right? If you don't try, you'll never succeed, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. And worst case scenario, I never hear back. More likely right. scenario, I hear back from them after Gen Con and they say, no thanks, or sorry we missed you, or whatever.
I would say the most likely scenario is you'd never hear back.
That's a good point, yeah.
I feel like odds are on that.
Yeah, that's
nothing against them, but just they probably get 10,000 pitch sure. emails all
so,
the time.
Worst case scenario would be that I sell the game to somebody else, and after that, Hasbro contacts me back and says, this sounds awesome, we're really interested.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, and then you're like, that's when you say, well, I've rethemed it.
Uh-huh.
Let me get that to you in like 2 weeks, I'll send you a prototype, and then you make something else.
Yeah. Wow.
And hope Hasbro's not listening to this podcast. They're not.
No. Anyway, I don't expect to get a meeting with Hasbro. I don't even know if they take meetings at Gen Con, right? Who knows?
The only time I've ever seen them take meetings is when they specifically take meetings. Like, mm-hmm. like they wander around Unpub and stuff, and they're taking a meeting as they'll sit down and check out your game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah.
We'll see. So we have not really a topic. We're just going to kind of go through some builder questions and comments and do some stuff, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaw.
Okay. Let me go find what we got. Okay. First one that I've got here on Twitter is... Okay, first one we've got is from our buddy VC Young. He says... two cannibals are eating a clown. One looks to the other and asks, does this taste funny to you?
Oh, that's a bad joke.
It's a real bad joke.
Yep.
I mean, it's fun. It's funny. It's like, it's not like funny, haha.
Right. It's funny. Groan.
Yeah. It's like, you know, groan funny.
You know, I have
groan and shake your head. Funny.
I have one like that. Right.
Oh yeah.
It's a knock, knock joke though.
Okay. Knock,
so
knock.
You know, it's super groany, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You start it.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Yeah,
that's yeah, yeah, right, yeah, 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 yeah. That sucks. Yeah. Anyways, I did hear a joke recently though.
Uh-huh.
It was I wish I could remember what it was. I was reading like jokes so bad you'll laugh, and one of them I read, I was like, oh my gosh, that's great, and then I forgot it. I'm super sad now.
Right. The other one that's good by that or similar to VC's is a termite walks into the bar and says, "Hey, is the bartender here?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Guy walks into a bar and says, "Ouch." Yeah. It's, you know. Doug Hetrick asks, in a game with playable characters, how do you ensure that you are inclusive without being stereotypical? That's a good question.
How do you do that, Rob?
Well, I think to some degree, you can't help but be stereotypical.
Depends on the setting, right?
Yeah. Like, Saloon Tycoon, right? I want to be inclusive, right? I want to be inclusive, and so I made sure that the game, the kind of a core function of the game was equal numbers of men and women, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep. That's right. The simple way to
simple
do some inclusivity.
Step
right?
One, right? Step two, okay. Well, so I wanted to make sure I want to be inclusive of other races, right? So, for example, the art for the sheriff, he's an African American man,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But in the original prototype, I had a Native American character. And I thought, well, you know, I mean, that's an important part of the historically,
right.
But, somebody, one of the playtesters said that I was racist for including a Native American in there. And
so here's a trick that I think you can use to, sorry, were you going to say something?
No,
else?
No, no.
Here's a trick I think you can use. I try this in writing and I feel like it works, but I don't know. Maybe you'll tell me that I'm stupid and it doesn't work. Take something that you want to be inclusive about, maybe mm-hmm. something you don't know a lot about, right? And rather than like, so for let's do Native American, right?
Okay.
Let's do Native American in the Wild West, Native American, right? So take them, but then give them something about them that has nothing to do with what could be the stereotype, right? So don't put them in a headdress or anything that somebody would look at it and say, cigar store Indian, right? Or that's racist, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not downplaying that because to certain people that's offensive, right? But instead, you know, if he had been the sheriff, for instance, right? Or he had been like, I don't know, like a blacksmith or something outside of like the Indian, the engine, right? That's coming to town to like Indian raid or something like Bang has, for instance. Though Bang, I think it's around that. I don't think they actually have Indian art. It just says Indian raid and there's like things in the barrel or something. But anyways, you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
like,
I do, yeah.
What it does is that it takes it out of, because I feel like if you took a Native American, right, and made them like a perfect representation of like an actual like traditional Native American garb, people would still look at that and say that's racist. Like, I think you can't win with that.
So we're talking about two different things here, though, because stereotypes are not necessarily discriminatory or racist or anything.
No,
right?
But stereotypes are always negative.
Not necessarily.
Tell me give me a stereotype that's positive.
So I'm talking about stereotypes in terms of expectations. Okay, if you are stereotypes are familiar, okay? Stereotypes are in one sense of the word, not okay. Stereotypes are comfortable for people from a perspective of understanding or communicating an idea.
I think in my mind you are swapping the definition of stereotype and archetype.
Okay, that's a fair statement. Yeah.
Stereotype is a negative connotation. Archetype is a classification.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah. Okay, you're right. You're right.
At least that's how I define it. Somebody might be like, "You're stupid."
Yeah. But. I mean, I think maybe an argument could continue there. But I'm not I'm not gonna argue with you on that.
Just when I say stereotype, that's how I see the difference.
Sure. You're right. You're right. You're right. Okay. So then, how do you do that without being a stereotype? How do you be inclusive without being a
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
Doug's question,
right? I mean, like you did with obviously there are a lot of negative situations you could put the African American in the Wild West, right?
Sure.
Especially pre Civil War Wild West. Mm-hmm. But instead, he's the sheriff, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a positive role,
sure.
Right? It's not pushing him off to another role or something, but it's putting him front and center on the box too, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a positive role, mm-hmm. I think it's important. It would be just the same as if the only women you had in there were prostitutes, right?
Sure.
I mean, like, that's wrong. I mean, that's both of those. Neither one of those are honestly representative of the Wild West, right?
Sure.
Sure, some people fit in those categories,
sure.
But the movies tell us pretty much everyone does, you know?
Right.
So anyways, yeah, I think that you have to try to make sure you're putting them in a positive role. And where I struggle with is, like I said, I believe you could take a Native American and do them total justice with their garb and everything they should have on, right? All the traditional things. And even if it was fully accurate, some people would just immediately say that's racist.
Yeah.
Which is too bad because you're not meaning that, but... Or you might get the cultural appropriation thing, too, that some people...
I want to use this as an example for you. So this is making me think of this stupid iPhone game that I've been playing. It's called Crazy Taxi Gazillionaire.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Crazy Taxi, right? We all know what Crazy Taxi is. And so this is an idle game based on Crazy Taxi, and you're just trying to earn money. Anyway, but you hire drivers in this. And I'm really impressed with how they've handled just the huge number of characters in here. I mean, they've got people of every race and every gender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got every character has their own little bio. It's a short bio. Like here's a black guy with a big black beard and blonde hair, an artist behind the bar and behind the wheel. Okay, because these are all the drivers.
Right,
he's wearing rainbow suspenders and a blue tie dye shirt. And, I mean, he's carrying an alcoholic beverage, so he probably shouldn't be driving a taxi.
To be fair, he's probably a crazy driver.
Yeah, but he's also a larger gentleman, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so and people...
No one called that guy a stereotype ever.
Right next to him, we have a Latino guy with a big tribal tattoo. Maybe he's not Latino, actually. I don't know. He's probably Polynesian. Super ripped.
Looks a lot like Eric Balfour.
I don't know who that is.
Keep going, yeah.
Okay. And his bio says, you see a man in a bespoke suit. Nain sees a... this guy's name is Nain. Nain sees a prisoner of fashion who got measured by the warden first. Okay. We have an Arabic man with a... you know, with the... I guess it's a turban. I guess that's the right term for it. Anyway, and he's ripped and he's a boxer. We have a what appears to be a transsexual clown. Or at least...
No, I mean, that is how I would describe that. Yeah,
right. And so, I mean, it does a lot of...
I just want to point out that if that's the one right there, uh-huh. nothing to do with gender or anything, but if that person was wearing that outfit and they were driving a taxi, I would be concerned.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that wig would get in the way.
There's a guy who looks like a pirate with a robot arm, okay?
Okay, I would rather be with a clown. That guy is terrifying.
Yeah. So anyway, oh, and here is Princess Leia with sick tats and a flannel shirt. Okay.
I kind of feel like they just mishmashed a bunch of stuff.
Well, yes, that's what they did, right? And they did it and they went crazy. Oh, here's kind of a glam rocker person. Melt. I don't know if Melt's male or female. I don't know. Straight out of like 80s glam stuff. But you know,
I literally have no idea.
They just go for it, right? They go for it and they say, they're just going to take all these stereotypes and we're going to mix them up and own it and be crazy with it because it's Crazy Taxi, right? So with the sheer number of characters that they have in this game, they don't shy away from anything, which I respect, and they just go for it. And they say, we're going to take these characters and we're going to do some things that you expect with them. And then we're also going to do what you described. And we're going to say, we're going to subvert your expectations in other ways.
Right.
Which I think works really, really well. Oh yeah. It does look
like looks like that guy, right?
Right. What was that guy's name again?
Eric Balfour. He's been in like a ton of random stuff. Kind of. Yeah. He's an okay actor. He's not great.
Okay.
I don't think he has a big Polynesian tat. That looks like, The Rock.
Like, yeah, it kind of looks like the Rock's tat. Yeah, yeah.
Which I know that's a traditional, I believe.
I believe so.
So, yeah.
Anyway, I feel like we just totally biffed this conversation.
No,
I'm always worried about doing that.
I actually feel like that was a pretty decent conversation.
Okay.
If we've said anything wrong, someone tell us. We know they will. Great. Yeah. What are your questions you got?
Yeah, okay, sorry. I'll get back to that.
Thank you, though, Doug, for that thought-provoking question. That
good
was
question.
Great.
All right. My original tweet, I had said, send us your questions, comments, platitudes, jokes, whatever, right? So Matt Ramsey, again, the amazing artist of Eight Arms Told You, mm-hmm. he says, I've got loads of platitudes. Be yourself. Follow your dreams. Work hard. Play hard. Buy one, get one.
I like that one, actually. Keep on trucking.
Yeah. Let's see.
Keep on keeping on.
Keeping on and on and on.
Don't stop believing. Sorry.
Tweet here from Grace. Say, congratulations on getting the designer publisher speeding event. Good luck to you, and I'll see you there. So,
congratulations to you, Gray.
Same to you, Gray. Wonderful.
This is Gray Dietrich. I can't do his voice. It's so great.
It's so good, though.
It's the best.
Right.
I was flipping through Facebook one day, and I want to say it was my wife or I think it was my wife. Yeah. I can't remember if I had it on my computer or not, but anyways, it was my wife. She saw a picture of Gray in his, at the time at least, his profile picture is Walter White from Breaking Bad. And she said, why does he have that for his profile picture? I said, oh, just a second. And then I pulled up a picture of Gray and she said, oh, so that's why, because it's him. I mean, Gray is a younger version. But
sure.
Yes, yes. So anyways.
Anyway, those are the Twitter questions we have. Do we have any emails?
Oh, we do.
Good.
We've got emails. Emails. We got emails. Andrew Griffin says, questions and tings. In an effort to get a mention on your podcast, I have some questions.
Good job.
I love honesty. What is your favorite potato variety? Don't be a hater.
Don't be a hate. Don't be a hater.
Do you like potatoes?
Potatoes are
potatoes.
Delicious.
Potatoes.
Boy, the mashed potatoes. Potatoes are kind of a staple of our diet at home.
Yeah.
Christine's a vegetarian,
right?
Yeah, so. We eat a lot of potatoes. I am a big fan of a good Redskin potato.
Yeah.
You know, a good Redskin potato is kind of kind of my, yeah, my go-to. We, what we like to do is we like to cut them up into, you know, inch size chunks, not any bigger than that. And put them in the, put them on a cookie sheet and cover them in oil and salt and pepper and
a little salt and pepper
and spices, you know, some oregano, some basil, just, you know, whatever we got in the cupboard, bake them up and, you know, little home fries.
When you put them into the oven, how do you get them in there?
We just put them on a cookie sheet and shove it in the oven.
You shove it or do you push it? Push it real good.
No, we okay. shove it.
I'm also a huge fan of Redskin potatoes. I really like Redskin, like, smashed potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, where they, like, make mashed potatoes, but they leave the skins on. Oh, those are great.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, Redskin, though. Yeah, definitely.
I have a dripping tap in my kitchen, and it's very annoying, I bet. If you had a dripping tap in your kitchen and couldn't be bothered to fix it, what receptacle from your kitchen would you use to catch the drips? Based purely on the most pleasing sound it would make. Oh my gosh. I love this guy.
Well, I would fix it, but assuming that we would not fix it, I would probably, I would get some kind of a large plastic Tupperware kind of thing probably. And then I would find the most porous sponge that I could find. And you know what, by probably not even sponge, like some kind of a foam, a very porous, airy foam lattice of some kind, and put it in there, not to soak up the liquid, but to so that when the drip falls out, it hits the lattice first and breaks apart and does not make a dripping sound. That would be my goal.
So what you said, except for I would just take a wad of paper towel and just set it under there. Because, yeah, the drip sound, no, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, see, once the paper towel gets saturated, though, then it's just going to be that kind of that tack, tack, tack sound of it.
I'd probably just replace a new one then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the better thing to do is just fix it.
What holiday location would you most like to play a game at, and what would that game be?
Holiday location?
Maybe he's from England. He means vacation.
Oh, right. What would you most like to play a game at?
Yeah.
I don't know. You go first.
In a cabin somewhere. Yeah. You know, actually, a place where I love playing games is in a cabin in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. There's a cabin we love down there that we go sometimes. And I like playing games there. That's fun.
Yeah. When we went to that cabin in Kentucky that looked over the Red River Gorge, that was pretty cool. We sat on the porch there, and that would be a good place to play a game. We stayed in a castle in Scotland, and that had a cool... cool place. That was neat. I would like to play a game though, in a cave. We went to Mammoth Cave last year also. I would like to go somewhere down deep underground and play a game in a cave. That would be cool, I think. I think that'd be neat. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And perhaps to seal the deal, a challenge.
Oh.
Choose a popular board game with a variety of components in the box. Now try to create an entirely different game only using those components and that you have available to you. Let's add a game mechanic too. Let my enemy choose. This may not exist. On the first, what? I think he means let the other player choose something for you. I'm not sure. On the first turn, everybody does an action for the player on their left. The next turn, they do their own action. The next turn, they do an action for the player on the right. And I can clearly not choose the one on the left. Then I just added that. Then they do their own action again. Repeat and rinse until the game finishes. This is not cooperative. It's an ultimate take that game where everybody is directly involved in each other's gameplay. I say inconceivable to that. I have nothing for that.
I have nothing for that.
That is a great pitch. Builders, if you're really good at pitching games, unlike us, you should do that pitch. I would say that I would rather get rid of the first part and just do the, you know, to the left, to the right, to the right. Now slide, slide. Yeah, something like that. So anyways, and
one,
then...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody in the car. Now come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have anything for that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, neither, I'm
but
sorry.
That's good. Thank you, though. We read it. So, thought for the day. If oranges were a different color, Yeah, he spelled it with a U. He's from the UK.
Okay.
Would the fruit still be called an orange, or would the color still be called orange?
Wait, say that again?
Basically, if an orange wasn't called an orange, would you still call the color orange, or would you still call the fruit orange? So this is the chicken and the egg thing, classic.
Uh-huh.
What came first, the color or the fruit? I'm going to guess the fruit came first. I don't know, though. I mean, the fruit definitely came first. Whether or not we called it that name because of that, I don't know.
Humanity's comprehension or the label that they assigned to that color. Yeah, no. I mean, if the orange was a different color, it might not be called that. That color might not be called orange,
right?
Because chances are then that the orange would be some other color, and that name would have already been assigned to it from some other source. So, if it weren't for that, then that color would probably be called like sunset or something, or sun, or something weird, or maybe the name of some other orange flower. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, just like chicken and egg, that's a ridiculous question because everybody knows that the egg came first.
Well, eggs have been around longer than chickens, so...
Yeah, well, because that's how genetic mutation happens and...
In eggs?
Well, in eggs, right. In developing embryos and that kind of stuff, right?
True story.
So, factually speaking, the egg came first.
Yes. Way to be pompous about it. All right. keep up the good work, guys.
That's what I do.
Andrew Griffin from the UK...
Hey, there it is.
Gaming Frame through the country for the doing a griff style of gaming, as touched on somewhere here. And then he has Herefordshireboardgamers.co.
All right.
Go there.
Next time I visit the UK, we should hang out, dude.
Yeah, the UK is super small, so you just drive there.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got one more email for today.
All right.
This is from Andrew Aaron Seba. Sebia, Aaron
Different Sebia. Andrew, okay.
Different Andrew. All the Andrews today. Andrew. Hey, guys. 1 year behind, but catching up. I am currently getting
Andrew
into the Unreal
Andrew.
Estate Kickstarter episode. Yes. I was able to follow Water Balloon Washout and Saloon Tycoon, but I completely missed Unreal Estate. I feel like I've read this one before.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. To help those of us that missed it, here's an idea. Maybe a bonus episode recapping the story of your published games, pulling clips from old podcasts, and completely moderating the journey separate or together. I hope this happens because this will allow people to see snapshots of your journeys in conjunction with more detailed weekly podcasts. Thanks, guys. By the way, I have playtested as Autumn Leaves, and I hope to get you an email with some feedback soonish.
Awesome.
Andrew.
Thank you.
Hey, Rob, why don't you get on those episodes?
Yeah, that's a beautiful idea, and I'm never going to do that because I'm way too lazy to do that much editing.
Right.
But if we have any builders out there who are interested in doing such a thing and want to cut together a best of show, we would be happy to put it up as a bonus episode. We would even record our own introduction to it and our own commentary after the fact. All right, I just said that without asking you, Jason, but I assume you agree.
I agree.
Yes. So builders, yeah, if that's something you guys want to do, retrospect, whatever. Yeah, sure. That would be sweet. That would be sweet.
Hey, listen, hey. I got something to say real quick.
It's for horses.
Listen, person who sent this email,
mm-hmm.
if you are actually listening to the show, this next email.
Oh, you got another? Okay.
I'm not going to read your email. But if you're listening to the show and you come back and tell me that your name is Reshvina, I think. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Listen, Reshvina, if you're listening to the show, you send me another message that says, hey, Jason, thanks for mentioning me. We will talk about your Kickstarter on our show. We will completely talk about it. We'll talk about it for like 5 minutes and we'll tell everybody to go back it. But based on your email, I don't believe you've actually ever listened to an episode of this show. This is how it starts. I'm a huge fan of your work. Your recent episode on Kid Convo and War of Fight really intrigued me. And then they move on, which tells me that's the best they had.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that episode, I feel like they had something funnier to say about that episode. So, Reshvina, again, if I'm slaughtering your name, I am very sorry. I'm deleting your email, but you just tell me that I'm wrong, and I will be all over it. Oh, one more thing from Andrew. I'll let you guess which one. It's Aaron Sebia. Gotta say, I was excited when you started mentioning AL81s, but then you left off the one. So sad. AL81, a.k.a. a late one. AL81. Not AL81. AL81. We kept calling it AL8. is the actual name. I will let it slide.
Is it really?
At least mentioned it. Haha. Keep up the good stuff, Andrew.
What, when I was in Kentucky, they were calling it L8. That's what they were calling it when I was in Kentucky. I didn't even think any beyond that. Am I wrong? Oh my gosh, I'm appalled at myself.
Rob doesn't like pronouncing stuff wrong, nor does he like when anyone else in the world does.
I hate it.
He gets real upset.
That email you just referenced, though, just reminded me. I got a tweet from somebody, and I won't say who it was from, but they said, at Poorly Designed, will you follow their Twitter thing as we launch our Kickstarter campaign this week? Thanks.
I got that too.
Yeah?
Huh.
Yeah.
No.
Not going to just... No.
Yeah, I used to think podcasters are jerks when I would hear them say this kind of stuff, and now I'm just like, no, it's just annoying. Like, it's just annoying.
It's just...
Stop it.
You're not trying. You're just...
You're not trying very hard.
Anyway, sorry.
Right.
I don't mean to
You could
complain.
Have listened to the first 5 minutes of War of Fight and said, man, Josiah's a funny kid, and I would believe, and I would have totally talked about your thing, but you didn't.
Didn't do
Reshvina.
It.
Sorry if that's wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, whatever. I'm going to pitch a game now.
I don't mean to brag about the reach that we have found ourselves having just by doing
this.
We
have
this
a Twitter
years.
Called Podcast BTG. Oh. People are like, it's a podcast. I'm going to mention my stuff.
That's a good point.
Okay, I'm going to pitch a game.
Okay, we're running out of time, so hurry.
We are. Okay. So, oh, gosh. I don't want to rush this. I'm going to save this for next time. So, you don't have a game for the next episode anyway, so I'll save it for next time.
I have like half a game.
Yeah, but it's going to take you 20 minutes to do half a game because you're so slow at pitching games.
Well, but now
games.
We were going
to
be ending early.
I see name 5 over there.
Okay. All right. I'll get it.
Builders, this has become our crutch, but you guys seem to like it for the most part. So, to be fair, no one has told me that they like it, but also no one has told me that they hated it. So, yeah. So I feel good about that.
I always read them now. This is
I'm going to read them to Rob.
Yeah. Let's do the challenge that way.
Didn't even open half these cards.
I've never played the game, dude. I opened it enough so that you and I could mess around with it a little bit.
Okay, ready?
You need the same timer. There's a timer in there.
I'm just going to pick things, though, to make it hard for you.
So, so I have to name 5 of these things within the, it looks like a 30-second stand timer.
Are you ready to fail?
Isn't it interesting now that I can kind of judge how long the stand timer is now just by looking at the amount of sand in it after experimenting with that simple surgery?
Yeah. All right, you're going to fail. Ready? And words containing a silent P.
Philadelphia, Philharmonic, Philip, philosophy and psychoanalysis.
Wow, good job.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Okay.
Philanthropic was the word I was thinking.
Ah, okay. Okay.
This is just me. You're not allowed to say anything blasphemous here. Okay, deal?
Oh, come on, Jason. You can't put that on me.
Nothing blasphemous on purpose.
You can't put that on me.
But I want to see you lose one. So, name 5 apostles.
blasphemous. We've got Peter and Paul.
I'm impressed. You've got 2.
Shoot, Judas was an apostle, right? Judas wasn't an apostle?
He was a disciple.
Oh, he was an... Then I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you're not going to To be fair, at least you didn't say Jesus was an apostle, which is honestly what I thought your first answer might be.
Come on.
All right, I'll give you a better one. it was just too ironic, because I knew you wouldn't be able to do that one. Right. some of these are really hard.
I know, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's more books in the New Testament. I won't do that for you.
I could probably do that.
Yeah, that's not. And there's like 30 of them. It's not hard. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
And yoga poses.
Downward facing dog. Sun salutation. Sun salutation is the whole cycle. I'm sorry.
I'll give it to you. Close
okay.
enough.
There is warrior. That's 3. That's still really only 2. I had yoga classes years ago. I don't know. I could probably just name animals and it would be
probably turtle, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yak.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. I don't know. It's not like there's actually an answer in here. Okay, this is a real, I will let you end on a really good one.
You got to turn over after you finish reading.
Okay. You wanted to get it anyways.
Okay.
This one, though, this is a really good one. You have a chance. It might be tough, but you have a chance. Actors who have played a vampire.
Tom Cruise. Let's see. Does Wesley Snipes count?
I would give you Wesley Snipes.
Okay.
He's a daywalker, but.
Right. Who's the guy in Blade? The kid, the dumb guy that I hate. Other vampires. We have what? Paul Rubens played a vampire. Who's that? David Boreanaz. That guy was a vampire. He was Angel, wasn't he?
Was he a I don't think he was a vampire.
I thought he was
though.
A vampire.
He wasn't a vampire.
I didn't watch any Buffy crap. I'm out of time. I don't know. Wasn't he the guy?
I was expecting things like Bela Lugosi.
Oh yeah,
Christopher. what's his name? Christopher Lee. Tom Cruise. Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Also in that movie.
Brad Pitt wasn't a vampire. Oh, he was a vampire.
It was Christian Slater that wasn't a vampire.
I was thinking Brad Pitt, and I was like, oh, wait, no.
Robert Pattinson, spoiler alert, Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
A bunch of other people I don't
know. Well, you know how hard this is when it's, when you're in the time limit, right? This is the stupidest thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
Oh. David, but really, I have not watched a single episode of Buffy or Angel or any of that nonsense. I always assumed he was a vampire, though.
I don't think he's a vampire. I could be wrong. I'm sure somebody's going to be pissed. I was trying to find one that you actually could get. Some of these are so stupid. All right. We're going to end on something political here.
All right, great.
You're definitely going to win, though.
Okay.
Name five Republicans.
Okay. Donald Trump, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, and Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. That was easy. Yeah. I should have said not presidents.
Not presidents. Yeah, right.
It's still, with how the news is lately, it would have been pretty
hard
easy.
Not to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
You just made me angry.
You won, and you're still angry.
I'm still angry. All right, that's enough. Is that enough?
That's enough.
Oh, hey, builders, you have basically one day left on our contest, by the way. The contest that we've kind of failed to promote a whole lot, because we're terrible at promoting things. So we've got this contest going right now. It due by the end of the day on the 31st. We need you to submit an idea for the Iron Design Challenge, for one of those challenges for our contestants for the year. The winner will get one game from each of the last 3 years' winners, right? It's a challenge. It's going to be something that has to be performed in front of an audience. Needs to be kind of simple, minimal components, the kind of thing that they can perform and that will be entertaining to the audience. We have several entries already. We're real happy about how they've gone, but there's still enough time for you to get your idea in. Send it to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. And we will get you into the running. We'll make a decision soon. We'll probably announce it on the episode before Gen Con.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And we won't announce obviously what the thing is. We'll just announce who won.
One.
And then if you're going to be at Gen Con, you can let us know. That'd be awesome. Cause we'll get those games to you at Gen Con.
Yes. But if you're not going to be there, we'll make sure we get them in the mail to you. Yeah. We'll probably get a mail after Gen Con cause we're probably have a lot going on. Cool. But if you're not able to go, you can look forward to having the event filmed by our videographer, Chris Kopak.
And don't forget that if you can be there, if you haven't listened to the bonus episode, the head judge this year, if you can be there, is you. That's right.
You are the hedge judge.
Audience is the head judge.
You're the hedge judge.
Hedge judge. You're not judging the thing. We're going to have some topiaries. That's around. Spoiler alert.
Uh-huh. It's a separate contest going on.
I don't want to do a topiary round where they have to just cut plants.
It's not too late, man.
You want to make Gen Con really hate us?
Yeah.
Let's cut topiaries in there. But no, anyways, make a meeple. I see Loomis try and make a meeple.
Uh-huh.
Anyways,
Okay. That's enough. So if you want to get in touch with us, like I just said, you can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Jason's at JASlingerlin. I am at poorly_design. You can like us on Facebook. You can call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. buildinggamepodcast.com to buy our games. And you can come on back next week and we'll maybe pitch a game that time. We'll see.
We will. I promise.
Okay. Probably won't have a topic though.
You can take that to the bank.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
So, do we have topics? Are we going to do... We don't have to, I didn't think so. So I thought about that on the way over. I was like, oh, so we can probably do one topic that's just like questions and crap.
Okay.
Do you want to do that for the first episode?
Yeah, but you can't call it questions. Just pick one of the good questions and call it that. I'm always afraid when people see questions and blah, 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 that they're like, I'm not going to listen to that episode.
You think so? Yeah. Do those always get worse
ratings? I don't know. I just think they do. So your best thing to do would just be to lie to the builders.
Okay.
I'm not being recorded, am I?
I don't care.
I don't think I'm being recorded. We're just going to lie to the builders.
I mean, you run the stuff over there. So
it's what America does.
If you don't
lie to the builders,
we're recording, then you're right.